Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Ellie Gibson, and welcome to the Scummy Mummies Podcast Greatest Hits Volume 3. So it's just a few highlights, really, some of our favourite bits from old podcasts. And we've got a few in Volume 3. We've got Simon London, who talks about what it was like to be adopted by a white family as a black child. We've got Steph Douglas, otherwise known as Don't Buy Her Flowers. She runs a very successful online business, but she's talking mainly about having a third child and sex. It's just lots of filth, really, lots of filth. And then we've got Elle Wright, also known on Instagram as Feathering the Empty Nest, who talks about the loss of her baby Teddy. So there you go.
This is the Scummy Mummies Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies Podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And who are you?
I am Simon London.
I can't not say your name like I'm the X Factor man, because it's just such a good name. Simon London!
Not a lot of people know this, because it never really comes up, but I was adopted at the age of 8.
Right. Oh.
So I was in children's homes, and I did have a half-sister. We kept on being fostered. And then finally, the last people who went, well, we'll give it a go, see whether we can foster them with a view to adoption. And I was adopted by them officially when I was 12. I remember one of the first things my new parents did, they went, he seems a bit bright and he's not getting on at school. Let's send him to boarding school, because that's not like a children's home at all.
No. Full of warmth and love.
So I went to boarding school. I met the first guy, the first kid, around about 11 years old, and his mum and dad were divorced. And I kept on saying, did your mum and dad argue? And what happened? Did they ever, like, fight? And could you see them fight? And he went, why do you want to know? And I said, I've never met anybody who's been divorced, whose parents are divorced. He went, you're black and your mum and dad are white and you've been in a children's home. You're the weird one.
And you're like, but my name is Simon London.
And it was a bit weird, again, in the 70s, the first time I got there, and everybody, they were really posh, and they were really, really horrible. And I remember the first fight, somebody said something to me, and I stood up, and everyone went, fight, 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 outside, take your jackets off. Oh, Simon's just picked up a jug and smashed it in that kid's face. And I was like, yeah, why do we have to go outside? Because in the children's home, you just hit people with the biggest thing you can find. And everyone's like, no, no, we don't do that. We don't do that at boarding school. At boarding school,
we're so angry.
We take our jackets off, we make a circle.
We
and
do it manly style.
What are you doing? Simon, what are you doing?
Well, Boris hasn't even put his knickerbockers on. For goodness sake.
He needs stitches. What are you doing? So,
you said that sometimes you felt like the world's whitest black guy.
Yeah, because I guess in a way, at boarding school, there were no other black kids, really. And then, of course, you just gravitate to what you know. So I went to university and made good friends. I had a really good mixed race friend there. But generally, the people at university at the sort of late 80s are still... It's still the kind of slightly middle-class people who are going to university. And they are, of course, white, most of them. And then you move out and you're with a group of friends. So I didn't really know lots of other black people. Black people I was meeting at the time would sort of, you know, they'd sometimes go, oh, you're not really black. And I'd go, believe me, they still call me all the same names.
I think you should be like, shit, has anyone got a mirror?
It is a bit
what do you mean?
So I was trying to explain this to somebody, saying, I kind of get, all the... I'm really lucky because I get all the privileges of being upper middle class, yeah, but all the great stuff of racism as well. So, you know...
And everyone's friends.
Yeah, I'd still kind of go out to sort of... go out, have a really good time, then be with a girl and go, we'll just hire this cab. It's just driven past, we'll get this one. Oh, it's just driven past again. Oh. You might want to put your hand up.
Yeah.
Because you're white and they'll stop for you. So it is a weird... You have this weird duality. It's only as I've got older that I've kind of... I think once you have a kid and you sort of think, what's life like for him, that you think about it a bit more, like your identity a bit more.
Are you really conscious of giving him the full, honest truth about...
Yeah. Just playing this podcast, I think.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Sit down, son. Have your first beer.
We talk about
it. Let these women tell you all about it. Let me white-splay this. Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And I'm so excited, Ellie, because Steph, Don't Buy Her Flowers is with us.
What have you been up to, Steph? Don't Buy Me Any Flowers.
I had another baby.
Oh, why did you do that?
I'm not sure. I know lots of friends who are going, oh no, I'm done after two. Mm, and I kind of wished I had been, but I wasn't. Mm. And I started mentioning it to Doug, my husband. He was going like, yeah, and then no. And then he'd be like, oh, I just was in an office of a client and he had a picture of his three kids on the wall and it made me think, yeah, three would be really nice. And then he'd say, but actually no, that he was really up and down. Meanwhile, Steph got pregnant. When I found out I was pregnant, he then said the immortal line, no, it's a bit like Brexit. I didn't vote for it, but I'm going to have to live with it.
Oh.
Just saying that. And even now, every now and then, he's like, you do still owe me because we had that third baby.
He's what? Yeah.
And no. He adores him.
Oh my God.
But every now and then, he's like, yeah, it was really your decision. I'm like, no, it wasn't.
No.
Does he say things like, but Steph, you promised me that if we had this third baby, the NHS would get another £1 million? Where is it? What's going on? How amazing has having a third baby been for your relationship with Doug Douglas? I presume you're having much more sex now.
Oh, I cannot get enough of it.
I think what's hard with a baby is you can feel really disconnected because you have time for each other, you're totally distracted. My focus has definitely been on Frank, and then it's been on like the big kids, and are they okay with Frank and adapting to having another kid there, and are they still getting enough of us, and da-da-da. And then it's...
Wait a minute, you mean you've prioritised the people most in need? What kind of selfish bitch are you? No, you should be blowing that man at dawn every single day before the children wake up.
Broken Britain!
How important, ladies, is the boning to a good relationship?
You know it's all going a bit sour when it's not happening, don't you?
Yeah. And that's the first thing that's easy to drop off, isn't it?
I mean...
The bone, yes.
His drops off, yours heels over. Exactly. That's how right. That works.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, especially we're in the winter months at the moment, better to keep your pyjamas on, isn't it? There's a lot of
admin. Sometimes I go to bed and I'm in like full jogging bottoms, hoodie, socks, and Doug is like, really? Really? Like,
knock. Can I come in?
We had this amazing woman, an audience member in one of our shows once. And I did some banter with her about, you know, all sex, you know. It's like, oh, so you had sex last night. Did you say, oh, well, yeah, you know, one leg out the pyjamas. And I thought it was the funniest thing. And I've now stolen it and I use it as a joke. But then you were like, oh, yeah, have you never done it one leg out the pyjamas?
No, but like round the ankle. That's why I said, so I don't lose it, and then later whoop it back on.
Because that would take too much
night. Yes, all done. Couple of wipes, you're done. Yeah. I don't do it every time. I like going the full tickety boo. You know, the whole la di da.
I really want you to write some erotic fiction, Helen style.
I think you can.
He
do
whacked
it.
Out his enormous. And stuck it in her flower manger. Ooh, tickety boo, she said. That feels tickety boo.
Everyone had a lovely time.
That's a closing chapter.
Splish, splash, splosh. The end.
Last night we did it really good style. And then.
Yes! Thank you, Helen.
Oh my God.
So hoping you did.
She even took an arm out of the pajamas as well.
Did you have a style? Good style. Oh, it's
like doggy style, but you close your eyes.
Good style.
Go on.
What's
sorry,
good
Will.
Style? What's good style?
No, I can't.
There's a lasso move. I think if you're good styling, I want you cowboy.
Yeah, did you do it style? Did you do it under the duvet and on top of the duvet? Is that good style?
All the moves. Levels.
Yeah. 50 Shades of Pelle. But you do, it does connect you again. So I think it's really easy to lose it.
Yeah.
And it feels quite hard to get it back.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, if you do it and it's bad style, then that's a nightmare, isn't it? It's very hard to get back to good style after a bout of bad style.
So I think it's worth doing.
It's like you're talking about making a will. It's worth doing. Get a professional in, get it signed off properly, because you never know what the future holds. It's worth doing. It is worth doing. I'm Ellie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And who have we got today, Helen Thorne?
We've got Elle from Feathering the Empty Nest.
Now, Elle, why don't you introduce yourself?
So, my name is Elle Wright. I am a blogger. I have an Instagram account called Feathering the Empty Nest. I write primarily about interiors and lifestyle and everything I've got going on in my life, but also I do write about loss, pregnancy loss and infant loss after the loss of our son Teddy in 2016, which has subsequently led to me writing a book on that subject as well. First of all, the midwife woke me up and said, the baby's a little bit cold, you need to give him a cuddle. So I was like, I don't really know anything about babies, okay, that's fine. You know, I don't think any of us know, do we? Like when we first have a baby, we're like, what is this?
And you do what you're told, right?
Yeah, totally. So I gave him a cuddle and then they were like, right, that's that. And then she came back, she was like, yeah, that's fine, put him back down to sleep. That was about sort of 12:30 in the night. And then I guess it was about an hour or so later, she came to wake me up and she was shaking my shoulder, like literally lifting me off the bed, shaking my shoulder. And she said, all I remember, she said, I'm going to have to take the baby, he's really cold. And as she lifted him up, his arms just flopped down by his side. And I just remember sitting bolt upright in bed and bashing Nico, to my husband, to wake up, and just sitting there like, fuck, this is really bad. Yeah. And I've written about it in the book, as you guys know, it's like, I just remember seeing people running past down corridors. Somebody obviously pressed an alarm, there were flashing lights, and they pulled the curtains round us, and that's when I thought, this is really bad.
Yeah.
And then the next day we were transferred to a neighbouring hospital who had a specialist neonatal intensive care unit, and NICU it's called. And we were there for 3 days before the paediatricians and all the specialists who were looking after him just said to us that there was literally nothing that they could do. So they switched his... Sorry.
I'm
always fine.
It's not all right, but it's all right that you're crying.
They switched his life support off, but it was just one of those things where even then, I think your instinct as a mother like takes over. And I can remember thinking when they said that was what was going to happen, I was just thinking, shit, I can't let him just, like, die in a hospital room with loads of other babies and loads of other families. And I said to them, right, okay, this is what I need us to do. It was like this weird, I kind of went into autopilot. I think you just think, right, I've got one shot at this to not fuck it up and just like do the best thing that I can do.
Yeah.
So I sorry, I've made everyone cry. I'm so
sorry.
No,
that's all right.
Well, you've made Ellie cry, which is amazing.
I'm just allergic to those flowers over there.
So we got the doctors to, they were really good actually, I can't tell you how good they were, and they just like hand and footprints with him and all of those things that, because you're kind of trying to pack a whole lifetime of memories into what I think it was like 2 hours, 3 hours. And then they let us take him into another room that had been a room that we'd been staying in that was like a family room. And then they handed him to us and stopped pumping the oxygen. And then they let him let us read him a story. And so that was how we decided to do it. When Teddy died and I was feeling a bit desperate and trying to search for other women or other parents who had gone through what I'd gone through, I couldn't find anyone who was talking about it, but also talking about their normal life. Like, it was like, that was all they were talking about. Yeah. So, I mean, I understand it's a huge thing to happen and it's really sad and it does kind of take over your life to a certain extent for a long period of time. But it just made me more miserable. And it just made me think, I don't want to read about how fucking miserable this is, because I'm already in that and I am living that every single day of my life. I want somebody to tell me, one day you're going to wake up and you're going to have a great day again, and you're going to laugh and you're going to get pissed with your friends, or this is going to be fun, or you're going to listen to music and not burst out into tears, and it's going to be normal, you're going to feel normal, whatever that is.
Have you had that day yet?
Yeah, I've had loads of those days, and when I do have it, I go onto Instagram stories and I tell people, because I am really aware that there are other parents following me who are in those first few weeks, few months, or however long, and just feeling desperate, and I want to be the one to say, guys, like, this was really good today and it made me laugh. And actually, I think we should all sort of do that, really, shouldn't we? When we're having a great time, revel in that, we should celebrate it, and we shouldn't, it was very British again, we don't want it because we look like smug bastards, don't we?
Yeah, I know. Can I just say at this point, I'm currently vegan.
Oh, fucking hell! Oh, my God!
And I really like it.
Listen, at least when I make it about me, it's about baby shit. Veganism has nothing to do with babies being in the hospital. How's it going?
I love it.
She's high.
I feel high.
Ask me if she's going to keep doing it in February.
I'm trying to. It makes me feel very happy.
Does it?
I feel so good. So good.
See, I'm a veggie, but I don't tell anyone.
Exactly.
That's because you're a good person.
So there you go. Volume 3 of the Scummy Mummies podcast, Greatest Hits. I hope you enjoyed it. Please do follow us on the Instagram and all the social media things at Scummy Mummies. And of course, tell your friends about the podcast if you like it. And if you don't like it, just keep it to yourself. If you want to buy our book, it is, as I'm speaking, still in print. It's called Scummy Mummies. And yeah, so that's about it, really. Thanks very much for listening. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.